family parties. All the livery stables were full, and the big grain mill in the middle of town was working day and night to supply the bakers with enough flour for the extra bread that needed to be baked. Money clinked in pockets and faces were smiling, because the sun was shining and the weather promised to stay fine. Good weather always made fairgoers better humoured and more prepared to spend. And although some people in Lauriston grumbled about the annual disruption of their peaceful routine, most of them looked forward to St. James' Fair. In his office overlooking the town square, Andrew Elliott, a sharp-faced man of law, was reading aloud a letter that lay spread out on a desk in front of him to Canny Rutherford, a plump, grey-haired man, who leaned forward in his chair, listening intently with his blue eyes fixed on the lawyer's face. When the reading was over, Elliot raised his head and stared at his client in silence for a few moments. At first, the object of his regard nodded without speaking. Then suddenly, like a jack-in-the-box, did something very unexpected. Leaping from his chair, he executed a jolly little dance in the middle of the carpet. Rubbing his hands together and bouncing up and down on his stout legs, he cried in exultation, "By Jove! Who would believe it? My girl be a duchess!" Delight made him swell like a puffball, and his bright eyes glittered and gleamed like chips of lapis lazuli. He was beaming so broadly that his scarlet cheeks bulged out like ripe apples, and the rising colour in his face and neck made Elliot put out a restraining hand, fearful that his client be carried off by an apoplexy in his hour of triumph. But Canny had no intention of succumbing to a fit. As suddenly as he had started, he stopped dancing and leaned, panting heavily, across the desk to pump his lawyer's hand rapidly up and down. "What a triumph, eh? What a sensation this'll cause! The gossips'll have something to say to make their tongues wag when they hear about this!" The lawyer, as lawyers often do, felt it necessary to pour a little cold water on his client's enthusiasm, and counselled caution. "Do sit down, Mr. Rutherford. You must remember it's not definite yet. He's written to say he's interested. That's all." But all efforts to induce calm were in vain, because Canny only laughed more joyously and cried out, "He's made the first move, hasn't he? He's strapped for cash. Everybody knows there's bills out against him all over the countryside. He's seen my lovely daughter, and he's been struck by a brilliant idea. Who'd believe it? I ask you that, Elliot. Who'd believe it?" "Who indeed?" thought the lawyer, looking across his desk at the delighted man. Canny Rutherford had earned his bread as a boy by filling water buckets at Lauriston's town pump for local housewives. No one then could have predicted that time would transform the water carrier into a fabulously rich man, with a daughter who was sought in marriage by a duke. "What is Miss Rutherford going to think about this? It will be quite a surprise for the girl. How old is she now? 17? asked Elliot, carefully folding up the letter which had caused his client so much enthusiasm. "She's 18. I've been wondering about finding a suitable husband for her, but even I never thought about this," exulted Canny. Elliot shook his head dolefully. "There's quite a difference in their ages. We all know what young girls are like, romantic. Do you think she'll agree?" Canny was not in the least deflated. His excitement was impossible to quench. "Oh, that'll be all right. Of course she'll agree. She'll be delighted. What girl wouldn't jump at the chance of becoming a duchess?" He stood in the middle of Elliot's carpet, looking like a jubilant Toby jug, with his booted legs apart and his round stomach bulging out beneath a long white waistcoat. Even Elliot, who knew Rutherford's history better than most, found it hard to remember that, in spite of the apparent innocence of the blue eyes, steel lurked behind them.